Father, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. God, I'm so grateful for Christ that we can move forward because of what you did on the cross, Jesus. Because God, the Father, you had a plan, and that plan involved us. I'm amazed. I'm amazed, God, that you would call us to yourselves, that you desire to walk in relationship with us, that you've given us your Spirit, that we can live and walk with you. And we can trust you, Lord, and we can move forward in faith because it's you who walks with us. So God, I pray this morning that we would be a people who are thankful because we're thankful for you. And as we think of this man, Zacchaeus, this morning, may we all be reminded of the grace that we've received so we can walk with you. Thank you. In your name, God. Amen. Amen. Well, good morning. Figures. I won't move. This is my last Sunday. And it is bittersweet, brothers and sisters. It is bittersweet. Bittersweet because of the relationships we've formed with you. And as I look out in the room this morning and I see your faces, I don't just see you, I see the stories, the times that we've shared together, the things we've walked through together in life. And though it's my last Sunday, it's not your last Sunday. And it's none of our last Sundays, truly. How's that? Did it just die on me?
How's that? All right. God is good. God is good.
No, it's my last Sunday. It's not your last Sunday. And really, it's none of our last Sundays because we're all going on God's mission together. Amanda and I are moving to northern New Jersey. I'm going to be pastoring a church there that is going and making disciples just as you are going and making disciples. And so this morning, thought it would be fitting that we had another sermon about taking grace beyond the walls. Because each and every one of us has been given the grace of God. And each one of us, everyone in this room has a sphere of influence. And everyone has the opportunity to invest in the lives of others for the sake of Christ. And so as we think about this, the question for you and for I this morning is, how do you and I respond? Responsibly take the grace we've been given, and how do we share the gospel, the love we receive from God with others? How do we do that? As I was thinking about that, there's a story that I love. I thought it'd be appropriate for us this morning. It's the story of a man named Zacchaeus. And as you think about Zacchaeus this morning, let us all be reminded that every one of us has a little bit of Zacchaeus in us. And yet every one of us has been called by God's grace to him. And so with that, we're going to start in verse 1. We're going to be in Luke 19, verses 1 through 10 this morning. So let's begin in verse 1. It starts off, Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but because he was short, he could not see over the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today. So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and began to mutter, he has gone to be the guest of a sinner. But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor. And if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount. Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. And so as the story begins, we meet this man, we meet Zacchaeus, as we recognize Jesus is coming in. He's coming into Jericho. Jesus' fame is spreading. And Zacchaeus wants to see Jesus. Zacchaeus was a tax collector. And 2,000 years ago, in Israel especially, tax collectors had multiple things that made them a negative view towards the community. One of the things about tax collectors 2,000 years ago was that they would take the amount that they were supposed to ask for, and they would raise the amount and pocket the extra money themselves. Essentially, they were thieves. They used their power to bring down others in their community so they could raise themselves up. And the community knew that, but they couldn't do anything about it because the tax collectors were protected by Rome. So they had to go forward. They had to do what the tax collector said. So tax collectors, in many respects, they were thieves. But in Israel, there was even more of a connotation about tax collectors. Because Israel in their history, God had told Israel, you will follow me, and if you follow me, I will allow you to be a nation that will express out to the rest of the nations who I am. But 2,000 years ago, when Jesus was walking on the earth, Israel was not free. They were under Roman occupation. They had to do what the Romans said. And so for many in Israel, they believed if we follow the law, if we follow what God has said that we should do, then we will become a free people again. And yet these tax collectors were only reminding Israel, you are not a free people. You have to do what we say because you have to do what Rome has told you to do. And so Zacchaeus, not only is he a thief, but he's actually aligned himself with the enemy of Israel. This was not a godly man. And so he was despised by his community. He was not looked up upon. And the passage also says that he was a wealthy man. So in many respects, he had chosen wealth, he had chosen possessions, he had chosen the things of this world over the God who had called Israel to follow him. Israelites despised tax collectors. They despised tax collectors. And yet in this story, we see as Jesus is entering Jericho, as his fame is spreading, in verse 2, a man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy, and he wanted to see who Jesus was, but because he was short, he could not see over the crowd, so he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. Zacchaeus wanted to see Jesus. And I have to wonder if part of why Zacchaeus wanted to see Jesus was because Zac knew. He knew that though he had picked possessions to be what satisfied him, it was not filling. Though he had chosen the things of this world to satisfy him, it wasn't filling. And so he's heard about Jesus. He knows Jesus is in town. He can't miss it because the crowd is just going crazy. They're trying to follow him. So this chief tax collector runs ahead and climbs a tree and waits for Jesus to come. Maybe he will get a glimpse of Jesus. Maybe he will hear something that will change his life. So we don't really know what was going on in Zacchaeus' mind, but I have to wonder if God was already at work in him, because Zacchaeus knew that he needed more, more than what possessions could give him. And for all of us, every one of us, there's come a point in our life, if we put our trust in Jesus, where we had to acknowledge and recognize that it's not the things of this world that are going to satisfy us. That you and I were made for relationships. And the most important relationship that you and I were made for was the relationship with the God of the universe. A God who decided, a God who chose to intervene for us so we could enter a relationship with him. And through the relationship that you and I have with God, we can now have a beautiful relationship as the church, as the hands and feet of Jesus. We can come together and be in an amazing relationship that only exists because of what God can do. So every one of us, if we put our trust in Jesus, had to have a moment where we said, I'm not going to go after the things of this world because they don't satisfy like you can satisfy, God. I will trust in you, Jesus. And so we meet Zacchaeus, and he climbs a tree, and he's waiting for Jesus to come by. And the story continues in verse 5. It says, when Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today. So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. Notice who called out to who. It wasn't that Zacchaeus yelled down, Jesus, Jesus. Zacchaeus was waiting. Zacchaeus was looking. But notice who called out. Jesus called out. Jesus called out to a thief, someone who had sided with the enemy, someone who was not doing what he was supposed to do. Jesus called out to Zacchaeus. And he says, Zacchaeus, he calls him by name. It's amazing. God was at work in this story. God knew Zacchaeus' story. And yet Jesus calls out, come down immediately. Come down, Zacchaeus. I must stay at your house today. I want to get to know you, Zacchaeus. I want to be in relationship with you, Zacchaeus. And I can't imagine what was going on in Zach's moment, in Zacchaeus' heart in that moment. Can't imagine it. I mean, can you think about this? A man who is doing everything wrong, and yet the person who should see him as an enemy, most importantly, should see him as an enemy, says, come down, I want to be your friend. I want to get to know you. I want to be in a relationship with you. And so verse 6 says, so he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. I can only imagine this picture of Zacchaeus. His whole face must have just lit up as he thinks to himself, I've been running after possessions my whole life, and I'm tired of doing that. Here comes some hope for me. I'm going to come down and I'm going to welcome this Jesus. And the story continues on. It says, all the people saw this and they began to mutter, he has gone to be the guest of a sinner. He has gone to be the guest of a sinner. So we have Jesus who looks up and says, Zacchaeus, come down. I want to be with you. And we have the crowd's response, which is one of muttering. This doesn't make any sense, Jesus. We're all excited for you, but you can't be this great person if you're going to go and hang out with a sinner. This man is about as much an enemy of Israel as anyone. Jesus, you can't be who we think you are if you're going to go and you're going to hang out with a sinner. Think about this with me. Think about this. If Jesus was willing to interact with Zacchaeus, Jesus is not embarrassed by our sin. He's not embarrassed by your sin. He's not afraid to take your sin and to cleanse you so you can be in relationship with him. We do not need to be embarrassed because God already knew Zacchaeus' heart. Jesus knew Zacchaeus' heart. And he still said, come. I must go to your house today. Jesus is willing to associate with us finite people. People who have nothing to bring to this table except asking for forgiveness and receiving and trusting Jesus to be our Savior. So if you're trying to prove yourself to God today, recognize we can't do it. The only proof we have is in trusting that Jesus is who he says he is, our Savior and our Lord. He's not afraid to associate with Zacchaeus. He's not afraid to associate with anybody in this room. And he knew the crowd would see this. He knew the crowd would mutter. But that didn't stop Jesus from calling out to Zacchaeus. But we also see the crowd's response, one of muttering. Jesus was doing something that just went totally against what they could have ever expected. But that also does not scare our God. So you do not need to be afraid of coming to God and asking for forgiveness. Because we know, as this story will continue along, as the Gospel of Luke will continue along, Jesus will not just come to the earth, but he will go the whole way to the cross, dying and paying for your sin and my sin in full. To be a follower of Jesus means that we recognize that we're going the wrong way on our own. By repenting, by turning away from our sin and saying, God, forgive me for being a sinner. I'm trusting, Jesus, that you paid for my sin in full 2,000 years ago on the cross, that you died, you were buried, and you rose from the grave. And I am trusting that that resurrecting power that raised you, Jesus, will one day raise me. And right now, it is raising me to life in relationship with you. So the crowd, they muttered, but they didn't understand what was really going on in their own lives. And that every person in the crowd needed Jesus. And so in verse 8 it says, but Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor. And if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount. I love this picture. He looks at Jesus. He says, the Lord. Look, Lord. There's a sense of humility here in Zacchaeus' life of saying, I'm going to trust you. I'm going to listen to you, Jesus. And I recognize that I'm going the wrong way here. I recognize that I chose Israel over God. And I'm going to just turn around. I'm going to just lay myself at your feet, Jesus. I'm going to trust you. I'm going to trust that you called out to me. I'm going to trust that you want to forgive me. I'm going to turn to you. And so he says, look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions. And if I've cheated anyone out of anything, I'll pay back four times that amount. And it wasn't about the possessions for Zacchaeus. It wasn't about the possessions. It was all about the heart. Zacchaeus wanted desperately for Jesus to see and to recognize his heart. And he was exuding out what was really going on in his life. Again, we don't prove ourselves to God, but if we put our trust in Jesus, it will flow out of us, the work that God is doing in our lives. So Zacchaeus knew that the thing that was in the way for him, the block that was in the way between him and God, was that he chose possessions over God. And he said, look, Lord, I'm not going to do that anymore. I'm going to trust in you. And the truth is, every single one of us is like Zacchaeus, me included. Because at one point in my life, when I was born into sin. And I, whether I even realized it or not, was choosing myself over God. And as Romans 3:23 expresses, that all have sinned and all have fallen short of the glory of God. Every one of us falls short. Every one of us is a little bit like Zacchaeus. Actually, we're all just like Zacchaeus. Because every one of us is born choosing our own way. Every one of us has gone astray. But every one of us, if we put our trust in Jesus, we've listened to the voice of our Savior saying, I want to be with you. I've paid for your sin. Will you trust in me? Will you trust in me? And so if we're going to see the community, if we're going to be grace beyond the walls, it begins with us seeing ourselves appropriately. We don't want to grumble like the crowd. We don't want to grumble like the crowd. We want to get excited for what Jesus gets excited about. We want to move forward in faith, trusting that our God is on a redemptive mission. A redemptive mission that will bring people, enemies, people who have chosen their own way, back to God. And so it starts with us seeing ourselves appropriately. Humbly coming to God so we can humbly go to others. And instead of grumbling, we can be like Jesus. Because Jesus' response is great in verse 9. He says, Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. Today salvation has come to this house. Today salvation came to Zacchaeus because Zacchaeus said, I'm not going to go after the things of this world. I'm going to trust in you. And Jesus declares this. Jesus declares salvation for Zacchaeus. And if you put your trust in Jesus, God declares you justified. He declares his saving work has begun in you. He does it. And so we come with a posture of humility to God. We receive grace. And then we take that humility and recognizing that we are people who are forgiven. And we go out to the community. And we share the love of Jesus with others just like Jesus. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. He came to seek and to save me. Me. Thank you, Jesus. So do you see yourself appropriately? Because if you are a forgiven person, if you can get excited like Zacchaeus got excited because he knew that day salvation was coming to him. That day he was entering into a relationship. He was excited. He was willing to part with anything because he didn't want anything to get in the way of his relationship with God. If we see ourselves appropriately, it will get us on God's mission. It will help us to continue to move forward because we will recognize the Spirit of God at work in our lives. So recognize, receive the grace and forgiveness. If you've never put your trust in Jesus, God can declare for you, today is the day of salvation for you. And for every one of us, let us move forward on God's mission. If he declares that he came to seek and to save the lost, then let us move forward seeking to save the lost because we know salvation is found in no one else. It is found in Jesus. And when people come into our community who make us nervous, let us be reminded there was a time when we were on the outside. But God wasn't nervous about us. So let us not allow ourselves to create barriers with our community. Let's move forward in faith. Wherever we're planted, let's move forward in faith. See what God has in store for us. Brothers and sisters, I'm excited for you. I'm excited. Because I've seen God at work in this church for 4 years. For 4 years. And as I've said, as I look out in this room, I see stories. Stories of God's work. I see stories of people who've taken next steps. As I have taken next steps. As I have grown in my own grace, in my own sanctification. And thank God for his forgiveness for me as we all have moved forward in faith together. And so I'm going to Northern New Jersey to seek and to save the lost. And I encourage you, wherever you're planted, wherever God may take you, let us all move forward in faith until the Lord takes us home, seeking and saving the lost. Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Thank you, God. Thank you, God, for your grace. And thank you for reminding us of your grace. Help us to live in light of the truth of who we are, a forgiven people who need to walk with you, and a forgiven people that you forgave and you want to walk with. How amazing is that, God? So grant us the grace to walk in your mission, knowing that you want to seek and to save the lost, and you want to work through us. So help us to see our community. Help us to see our sphere of influence in light of the gospel. And Lord, I thank you for the people that we've seen already come to Christ. And we pray, Lord, by your grace, till you take us home, would you help us, Lord, to see the opportunities. As you are drawing people to yourself, would you use us as your hands and feet for the sake of your gospel and your mission. Thank you, Jesus. In your name, amen.